Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpets sound. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul, 24 November 2025. Welcome to the next broadcast. We're glad you're with us. And I do mean that with all my heart. I seriously do. And our guest probably not going to show up tonight. I didn't know it just about 5 minutes ago. So anyway, be me and you tonight and maybe tomorrow night. And that's okay. I would love very much for y'all to come in and partake of the broadcast tonight and share what's on your mind and what's on your heart. Folks, I don't like always being, have the guest on or just take it over by myself all the time. I got plenty to talk about, no doubt about it. But I like to hear your opinion. I like to hear what's on your mind, what your concerns are. Before we go there, though, I'll mention two prayer requests. For a good friend of mine named Andy, who got sick yesterday afternoon, and went up, his wife called to come up and need you, and he was laying on the bed. He went into AFib with his heart. He's back home now, but he got pretty sick and pretty much out of it. But I need, if you would, keep Andy in your prayers, please, and especially that we can be certain of his salvation. Talked to him about several times, nothing solid. So please pray for that if you don't mind. His wife also. And also for Joseph, an important prayer for Joseph. And the Lord knows all about that. So you prayer warriors, Andy and Joseph, please keep them in your prayers. And don't forget, folks, our phone lines, if you want to call and talk to us during the day. And today, the phone was not answered. Our answering service, Faith, went deer hunting today. So she forgot to leave her phone with her mommy to answer the phone. So there wasn't a service today to answer the phone. If you left a message, she will call you back. But don't forget to call us, folks. We do, if you don't mind, I do need to help us get through this month and next month into the first year if you don't care. You want to order anything or need anything, just call us at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. If you want to talk to me, call the same numbers. Normally it's answered, and we'll call right back. But I will say this. The phone calls have been so slow and so low that I really am beginning not to see any reason to keep the phone lines open every day, all day. We may just start answering them or checking the messages like once, twice a day. I'm not answering the phones all the time because the phone calls are way down. Of course, it costs money to have answering service. It costs money. And I can't see spending money out of the ministry that we don't need to spend. So the phone calls are way down, even on Thursdays now. Things are so down, and I understand that at the end of the year. But I'm whining, just telling you. So heads up, in case later after the first year, we're going to try to see what happens between now and then. If they don't turn around, we are probably just going to go ahead and start checking the phone messages like once or twice a day. And being off on Thursday. That may be a plan. Not real sure yet. We'll see what's in store. But nonetheless, we're here if you need us. if you do need anything at all, please feel free to call, okay? We're going to have a guest tonight, Kevin Annette, and a great book he wrote that I want to interview him about, but it didn't work out tonight for some reason. I don't know what happened this time. He's sick last time, but he wrote a book entitled Murder by Decree. I want to cover some details on that and what he's exposing. He's an author that's traveled all over the world with human rights activists, trying to get people to understand what's happening and trying to help them get involved in the game. The battle to save lives. The folks, his book about murder by decree, talking about the murder of Native Americans and Native Canadians in Canada. The church and the Canada government are both involved in that, but we'll maybe get more later on discuss that perhaps. But let's not forget also that we've had around 70 to 100 million babies in this country murdered by decree. And we did. Yeah, I know. The Supreme Court said it's okay, and they aren't real people anyway. Don't worry about it. So we've had that happen. But we're going to discuss that a little bit, not necessarily the topic of murder exclusively, but as to how we got to where we tolerate such things. I heard somebody say the other night, and I think it was Dane Whittington said this, and it really stuck in my mind. And there's so much truth in just a few words. He said this: you cannot have morality without courage. You cannot have morality without courage, and you cannot have courage without morality. That was very powerful, very true. You cannot have morality without courage, and you cannot have courage without morality. And the Bible says that the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous is bold as a lion. And as you dwell on that, I'm showing things sometimes that I probably should have seen the scriptures 40 years ago, but I didn't. I'm not a fast learner. But when someone is righteous and knows the right on an issue, they do become bold. And if they have any courage, because they are moral, they will stand for the truth. And morality, if they're truly a moral individual, they will have the courage to speak the truth. Now, I want you to let that sink in a minute. If you're a kind of person who backs away because he's afraid, for whatever reason, afraid to speak your mind when you know it's right, to maybe influence a situation or influence somebody's life, if you're afraid to do these things, if you're afraid to stand for righteousness in the face of evil, and I'm saying this out of love, but you're not walking as a moral individual. You're not walking in righteousness. You're just not. Because righteousness demands courage in the face of evil. You know, I see this a lot. Back during COVID, masses of people, most of all, I'd say at least 90% of the people, probably more, gave in to the mandates, not laws, mandates, to put on a mask, stay 6 foot apart. They were afraid. They couldn't go see their mom and dad in nursing home in the hospital. A lot of the older folks that passed away in these homes with no one there with them to see them leave. Family wasn't there because, after all, we were under a more or less a military shutdown, police state shut down because of the pandemic. Moral individuals could see through this. And, for example, the mask mandate basically was ignored by a lot of people that saw it was all a bunch of hooey, and it's all a lie to get the people frightened. Frightened people are easily controlled. And you see that all the time in a lot of different places, even in churches. But when people become afraid, they follow the rules, and they won't speak up that, well, I'm not, that mask is nonsense. It isn't scientific. And folks, that wasn't hard to prove. You see that all over the information passed around on the internet and places. This mask did not work. And you saw the warnings about the so-called jab and what they're doing with that. But you see that, and people backed down because they didn't want to be confrontational. I've said this many times on the radio, and I'm going to say it again. Was our Savior, Jesus Christ, confrontational? Or was he kind of milksop? You know, easy to get along with. You know, when he shook somebody's hand, was it just a limp, like a dish rag kind of handshake? He looked him straight in the eye and shake him in the hand and show him that there was a man standing there. You know, this nation is suffering for lack of a lot of things. But mostly it's suffering for the lack of courage in individuals and even in the church. It's suffering a lot for the lack of real men. We got a lot of males, but very few men. I said men. And I'm talking about men with toxic masculinity, which I found out about 2 months ago. That's what I had. I have toxic masculinity, and I say praise God for that. But we have people out there that are afraid to stand, and I'm ashamed to say this, but if you watch the mainstream male today, in most cases, especially I don't watch much mainstream TV. I just can't stand it. Because almost every male on there is effeminate, to say the least. I didn't say they're homosexual. I said effeminate. And the women are overbearing and will say rude to men because men deserve it, don't they? But you see, real moral individuals, male or female, when they see injustice being done, they speak up. I don't care whether it's on a national level or on a personal level. When they see injustice being done, because they are moral, they have the courage to speak up. I mean, it's just sad to say that we tolerate a lot in society because we don't want to stand out in the crowd. We don't want to cause the waves. We don't be the one that becomes unpopular at that moment, and whatever the case may be. But that makes us a coward. That makes us immoral. Because true morality, righteousness in Christ, demands courage and strength. Do you think that a society that is timid and afraid all the time really has the courage, the strength, and tenacity to maintain their liberty and freedom? You know, I'm convinced that most of our forefathers, clear back to when the founding fathers were the Pilgrims and Puritans, would have not given in to the idea of mankind, government, or whatever you want to call them, the king, feeding us and clothing us, houses, and housing us. But we've all done that. I have. I paid in Social Security for 45 years. That's what I get back from the king, my master, who gives me a pittance every month that I may exist one more month, although it's getting hard to do all the time because everything going up and the paycheck is not. So we're seeing a nation that become complacent, to say the least. Cowardly is a better word, maybe. And we sit back and let somebody else take care of us because we don't have to exert ourselves. We don't have to be courageous enough to go out there and jump on a job and do something. We take the easy way out, don't we? So we're the kind of people now that call ourselves Christians who shrink into the woodwork, disappear in the woodwork, so that we can have another day of peace on earth, another day of ease, and no one actually upset with me and mad at me for taking a stand. I mean, is that not how we do a lot of times? I'm raising my hand here. That I do the same thing. I've done the same thing many times. You see, it makes no difference what year we lived in. Back in the 1950s, I know this for a fact, I was there. Most of y'all know what I'm talking about now, but what we see as being normal in today's society, homosexuality, transgenderism, murder of babies, would not have been tolerated by the general public. They would not have stood for it, let it happen. They would have stood up, they would have rose up and said no. And most of them that were probably not Christians either. They just were moral individuals who knew immorality when they saw it. They would have said, no, this is not going to happen on my watch, not now, not today. It wouldn't have happened then. Why do you think they didn't start bringing us out to the late 70s and 80s? How many years did it take to get the nation in the shape where they'll keep their mouth shut just because it's easier that way? My friend, that is a sign of cowardliness beyond words. We shape society by how we live our lives. Oh, yeah, but how we think is very important. How we think and how we view the world is vitally important. That's why when we have Bible study, I do Christian Worldview News. Christian Worldview News. I don't go by ABC, CBS, and all the rest of them. We look at it from the Bible's perspective. Society is shaped not only by what you think, but by what you say and how you act. Have we become so indifferent and so afraid of controversy that we'll step back and tolerate evil around us? Now, the answer to that is yes. I'm guilty. You're guilty. We've done that. As I do a lesson on the first Saturday of December, I'm going to finish up. I started last week in Bible study, Weeping in Babylon. I'm going to make a point about a king whose servant found the book of the law of God, the word of God. They found the word of God. We're going to share that and see what happened with that. I'm going to share the idea that the king, Josiah, and his people were pretty well pretty well disciplined people when it comes to righteousness. I mean, he didn't keep count of the money he had in his treasury because everybody dealt honestly. But when he found the law, the book of God and his word and his laws, his statutes, the king rent his clothes. He tore his clothes up. He wept. He was in sorrow and great anguish because he saw when his life, although he tried to live godly, had fallen so far short. And the whole nation was under judgment already because of their idols in their lives, even though they were somewhat a moral individual, a moral people. Let me make this point. They said they had gods in their lives. Well, we'd say that isn't us. We don't have gods in our lives. We serve Christ. I beg to differ. You see, whoever you obey is who you worship. And whoever you worship is who you obey. If man's laws, in your mind, supersede God's laws, that individual, that law becomes an idol to you. Just as all the government welfare checks and welfare handouts and all the other things has become idols to all of us. 42 million Americans, well, now I take it back, not Americans, most 52% of them are illegal. They're not even Americans. 52% of people get food supplements are not citizens. Take that to the bank. But you see, that in itself is immoral and wrong. But the people, again, don't care enough about it to say anything about it. I promise you that your preachers, where you go to church, will not bring this up to you. But we are an immoral people full of many gods because we don't want to lose our benefits, our checks, and our comfortable way of living. There's a movie out years ago entitled They Live. Maybe some of y'all saw it. Where a gentleman found a pair of glasses. He put them on. He could see that many people around here were not real people, but robots. And he could see that the signs on buildings that advertised had quotes on them that the subconscious would see. And one of the ones he saw on the dollar bill was the word idol, I-D-O-L. And that really, when I saw that, wow, said that makes sense. Let's face it, folks, to keep our dollars coming in, we have worshipped other gods for many years. Why else would we have allowed the murder of unborn babies in America? Our founders wouldn't have. They wouldn't tolerate back in the 1950s either. What happened? What happened to the standards at one time were set back then? Even outside the church, the standards were higher than they are in most churches today. What happened when the word divorce was a wicked thing and nobody wanted to talk about it, nobody wanted to go through it? But the church today has as many divorces in it as the world. What happened to the idea of morality? What happened to the idea of righteous anger? What happened to the idea of blushing when something would embarrass you? You know, the book Deuteronomy, Jeremiah, it talks about people who can no longer blush. It's in your Bible. Nothing embarrasses them anymore. Nothing but bothers them. They don't blush. Nothing seems to faze them a whole lot. They go about their lives, not really caring about anything, because they don't want to get involved, and they're comfortable. Just like Lot's wife was in Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot's heart and spirit and soul was vexed because of sin around him. I'll teach that more detail in the next Bible study. But his wife, although she was saved, yes, she was, out of the world, or Sodom, if you will, she was saved and taken out. Her heart was not in it. She looked back to where she come from because she wouldn't go back into that city. She had a comfortable life. I'm sure she was pretty wealthy. She had a lot of friends back there, and she wouldn't go back into that world. Even though it was full of sin and debauchery and all manner of evil, she wouldn't go back into that world she was accustomed to because she was comfortable in it. And God help us, folks. I'm saying this out of pure love. Most Christians today are comfortable in society. God help us. If you're comfortable in today's society, you feel at home in this country, in this society, you're not walking with Christ or in Christ. Don't give me that stuff that you are. If you are, you're not born again. Put it that way. If you're walking comfortably in this, you're not born again. I'm going to prove it to you in the next Bible study. And God himself is watching to see which men and women have the courage, have the moral courage to speak up and speak out when standards all around them have dropped so far below the standard of the Word of God. And it used to be the standard of his church. The church has sunk right in the same thing, I'm afraid. The standards have been dropped so far that no one even knows what the original standard was or is any longer. People are so afraid of hurting somebody's feelings that they will put up about anything, because you know, if you hurt somebody's feelings, you're considered really a bad person. And if you hurt somebody's feeling because you tell them about Jesus and salvation and that you're going to hell if they don't repent of their ways, or you don't condone their lifestyle or what they do in their lives, you become a hater. You become a really evil person in the eyes of the new standards of this society we live in. You become an individual that is dangerous to society because you cause unrest. Folks, it's true. You know that. We have the saying now, let's just live and let live. Don't judge. Don't you know the Bible says you don't judge, you can't judge? It doesn't say that at all. But that's what people interpret it to say. Because they read part of one verse and shut up. That isn't what the Bible says. By any means, doesn't it say? No way does it say that. Matter of fact, Christ himself said for us to judge righteously. But live and let live. How dare you tell me how to live? How dare you tell me that what I'm doing is immoral? How dare you? Who do you think you are? Are you one of those holier-than-thou people, you know, that think you're better than anybody else? That's what you're going to hear, folks. I mean, and it's getting to the point now that if you do protest too much and speak the truth, as it was in Christ's day and his society, after a while, you'll make some people jealous and other people angry. Christ made the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the church leaders, jealous and angry. So they had him, they took him before the civil authority, Caesar, Rome, and had him killed. He was killed. Yes, folks, he was killed. He was nailed to a cross and died there because he dared speak the truth in a society polluted with evil and compromise. And the church that he went into, so to speak, was so full of the love of money, as with the money changers, and the creed of cowards, that they hated him for telling the truth. They couldn't stand any longer. They had to silence him. He was embarrassing the church leaders. He was exposing their evil, their hypocrisy. That's what he was doing. And he made them angry enough that they wanted him dead. They wanted more than one occasion. The only thing that stopped him was they were afraid of the people that were around Christ. But when the occasion finally arose, they could do it, as it was planned before the earth was ever formed. His death was already planned. to become atonement for you and I. But they couldn't stand it, so they took a chance to have him killed, and they did. For our betterment, by the way, no matter what you say, if Christ hadn't died, we wouldn't have a chance. But that's not the point I'm trying to make is. The point is, he stood for the truth. As Apostle Paul stood for the truth. And he was destined to die. So was Peter. So was James. They were destined to die for the gospel's sake. And why did he kill them? Because they were tearing down their playhouse. When John told Herod that him taking his brother's wife was idolatry and sin, Herod's new wife told her daughter to ask for the head of John the Baptist in a basket. And Herod did it. He gave her John's head, although Herod didn't want to do it necessarily. But his new wife said, I want that man dead because he's embarrassing us. You see, there's nothing new here. John's moral compass led to great courage. And his courage led to his death and martyrdom. An example to us today. So what's happened to the parade of people walking down the streets going to church every weekend who call themselves Christians? They keep their mouths shut when it comes to standing for right and wrong. What's happened? Who took away that fire? Simply, folks, I just read to you. The righteous are bold as a lion. So these people are too cowardly to speak. Are they righteous? Are they who they say they are? Or are they going back to live and let live? I mean, I'm all right, you're right. Don't worry about it. America is in a very dark place. Why? Because Matthew 5 and 6 tells us that we're the light of the world. We're the light of the world, folks. And if the light is hidden, what good is it? The world is dark because the church is no longer light as a whole. It's not. Now, I'm not saying all of them, but I think I'd be bold enough to say 95% of them are hidden or hiding their light or don't even have a light. They're walking around, as the Bible says, think they're walking in light, but they're groping in the darkness and don't even know it. They think they're wise, but to become fools. This describes America today in general, and even more so the so-called church in America today. America needs Jesus. America needs salvation. But why should they seek salvation in Christ when you and I, as a church, is just like the world is? We dress like the world, talk like the world, go where the world goes, and tolerate what the world tolerates. Back at the break with phone calls, like I said, 717-300-1698.
And on the battlefield, Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Demand a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775, or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you, you can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Herd. That's spelled H-U-R-D. 224 Herd Road, Netty, N-E-T-T-I-E. N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Herd Road, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Folks, we are back. Get the phone call just a second. I promise to get your phone calls. I hope you'll keep the lines full tonight at 717-300-1698. I hope you keep them full and keep everything coming in. I do want to hear from you, but I'll make a few more points to get the phone calls. You know, you have to almost admire the transsexuals and the homosexuals and they call the men walk around dressed like women and do the shows, the queens, whatever you call them, I can't remember anyway. You almost have to admire them for one thing. They have had in the past, when it wasn't popular, the courage to stand in the face of society that didn't like it and say, we're here. I guess the one they're saying was, we're queer. We're here, we're queer, we're going to stay, something like that. They had the courage to do that. What did the church do? Oh, that's okay. We'll go back inside the four walls and play church. Don't worry about it. That's what it boils down to, folks. They had more courage in their immorality than we have immorality. And you have to give them credit for the fact that they weren't afraid to do that. But, you know, we use that old that saying, live and let live. Well, that's just a time for us. When we say that, what we're doing is abrogating our authority, responsibility to stand for truth. That's what we're doing. We're just letting it go. We're excusing it away, if you will. And the foundations, the Bible says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, my question is to you now, the foundations have been destroyed. What are the righteous going to do? The righteous will stand and speak up. The righteous had no choice. It's impossible for a righteous man to peaceably coexist with evil. It's impossible. It won't happen. They'll get in trouble. Somebody will get mad at him sooner or later. But you see, we decided what we're going to do as Christians and Republicans, we're going to put Trump back in office so he can save this country. Now, you know that's truth. And so help me, some people that call themselves Christians still think that we're winning this battle. They really believe that. Our nation is in worse shape now than ever has been. I didn't say that Trump didn't do some moral things I like. I didn't say that at all. But he's taking us into wars and get more wars coming up. He's sided with the one of the most murderous nations in the world. We'll call it Israel if you want to, as they commit atrocities on the people in Gaza, killed hundreds of thousands of them, and we turn the blind eye. You know, I heard Trump say that about Nigeria and the Christians being cleared there, being killed there. He was very angry about that. Very angry about that. Yet he turns a blind eye and supports with our dollars the killing of innocent people in Gaza. Is that that kind of hypocritical? Also supports with our dollars the war with Ukraine and Russia. Ukraine and America forced that war on Russia, and we're financing it. But again, an ignorant and immoral people will never see that. It's like with the Israel situation. Oh, but you're an anti-Semite. You know what? You don't even know what a Semite is. Just shut up. You don't even know what a true Jew is. Just shut up. As Revelation says in chapter 2 and chapter 3, they call themselves Jews and are not. Read your Bible, folks. Read it. That isn't a point tonight. Point of this, we tolerate this because we're some of a moral coward, like it or not. You see, the world is a better place or a worse place depending on you and I. No, we can't influence a whole lot of people. But surely we can influence a few people with our beliefs and our stance on righteousness. Maybe you can't change the world. America's too far to turn around. Maybe you can't turn it around, but you can influence it for the glory of God, for the sake of those around you. You see, when it comes right down to it, folks, you're a free will agent. Do as you see fit. But I will tell you one day, payday's coming for all of us. Payday's coming for all of us. And the first ones cast into hell, according to the scriptures, are the fearful. Fear will take you to hell and cause you to be silent as your nation and society and your children go to hell. Now, I told you I'm going to shut up. I'm going to. I'm going to get the phone line just like I promised. I want to do that right away. Let's speak to Gary in Arizona. Gary, come on in. Welcome.
Hi, Brother Butch. I hope you're doing well today.
Pretty well. How you doing? How you feeling?
Well, I'm still a little bit under the weather, but as the scripture says, this too shall pass.
Yeah,
and,
that's true.
You know, so, yeah. So I have a lot of your people that call in, let me rephrase that. A lot of people that listen. A lot of people that listen to this broadcast are voting for me, and I appreciate that. And quite a few here. I want to go back to the COVID time, real briefly, because I remember I was going to a certain church there that was a really nice church, you know, and there was nice people there, and so on and so forth. But I remember that I asked the pastor. I said, well, the churches are closing down, though. We're going to close down. And I said, I don't think that we should do that. You know, and he told me, he says, Brother Gary, he says, if I don't close down and something happens, you know, the major denomination will not support us on that. You know, so he kind of knuckled into that. But bless God, you know, he did think it over and come back, and he did open up before it ended. So bless God for that, and we were praying for that. So, see, prayers help. I mean, God hears your prayers. Yes. If you pray. Okay. Now I'll get back to what we do on the street about trying to save the preborn baby. And, you know, at one time we had about I don't know, 14, 15 people on the team. But we're mostly older people, and, you know, people come and people go, and, you know, they're just having a hard time to do it. But we have very few younger people. You know, that will come. But we have three big major churches here, you know, that have most of the youngsters, you know, school age children, you know, high school and so on,
right,
and so forth. But I just asked the picture. I said, just send me one person. Send me one. You know, and just send me one. You know, when I go out on Fridays usually, just send me one. Let them come out and see how they like it. And I've been saying that. You know how many showed up? None. I can talk to all of them.
You know, that's a good round figure. Zero.
That is true. Even I can keep up with that. I'm very serious about that. And like I said, back with the ivermectin, at that time I had, about 14 people, and none of us took the shot. None of us. And we're all older people, you know that. And so what we did is we just took care of each other. And, if somebody would show up and give you some ivermectin to take, see that you got food. It was like 14 people that was, just within a church within itself, taking care of itself, and we all made it through it okay. We suffered a little bit. We suffered some, as we went through that. But by our faith in the one and true and living God, we made it through. Because why? Because we cared for him. And when you care for him, you care for one another. And amen. I have to put this in, or else I wouldn't be me. I thank people so very, very much from people that's heard you. Some people have sent me some money, and because I haven't got a lot, and I never complain about that. But a few people do, and it helps, and it really does help. And I can honestly say that I've never spent one cent of money I'm on myself. It's always went to our mission. And, I've made signs. So I think I got, when I started Butch, I had two signs showing, don't kill your babies. And now I got about 35 of them out there, that I put on the street. And we're old. So, you can't pass me by without seeing that. And I'm going to tell you what, you don't want to stop and help. You don't want to stop and say, God sees what you do and he sees what you don't do. And right now, I believe it's time for me to get off the phone and let somebody else on. God bless you.
Thanks for the call, Gary. God bless you, brother. I do appreciate it. Folks, there was a man, that Marr, he doesn't back down. He stood for the truth through lots of pain, spiritually, I'm sure, but also physically. He's still standing, he and his wife both. What a sweet couple. All right, let's stay right here in West Virginia. Let's talk to Chance. Chance, come on in. Welcome.
Yes, hello, Pastor Butch. I'm not going to talk about Trump tonight and give you a heartburn. You mentioned overbearing woman, When I think about my late mama and my late daddy, I always remember how never, not even once, did my mama ever make my father look bad or inferior out in public. She always made him proud and always made herself look really pretty for him. Her biggest loves in her life were her husband, my late baby brother, and me above anything else. But Pastor Butch, I'll be 66 in about 5 months. When I got older and started dating like the early 70s, each and every girl was overbearing, bossy, selfish, inconsiderate to one degree or another, and underappreciative of my kindness and generosity. I could just imagine what it's like for a lot of these young guys today, Pastor Butch.
Oh, yes.
My last experience convinced me that it's practically useless nowadays. As long as I kept giving, they just kept taking. And, now that I'm going to be 66 in 5 months, I'm physically unable to give 100% and get nothing in return anymore. If it was my mama, I'll give you an example. You'll get a kick out of this. One girl, I picked her up. I said, let's go to a restaurant. I'll get some food. I'll bring it to my house, and I'll, set the table and stuff, and we'll eat. I went to pick her up, sneakers on, didn't even get dressed a little bit, right? Got home, I put all the food in dishes, and when she was done, she headed straight for the door. Can you imagine leaving me with all the dirty dishes? And I said to myself, wow, if this was my mama, not only would she have washed the dishes, she would have vacuumed the carpet, mopped the floor, washed the windows. This is a difference. I'm not saying all women now, Pastor Butch.
Oh, no, there's some good ones out there, yes, there are.
Yeah, but that's there's a lot of them like that nowadays, and that's in my age group. Can you imagine?
No, I understand what you're saying. I really do. But, you know, late rate on the line, though, excuse me, not necessarily you and I, but men have let this happen. Men have become effeminate themselves. I mean, a real man will not tolerate disrespect from anybody, including his wife. He just won't do it.
Yeah. Yes, you're right. But I always treated a woman with respect. I've learned that from my daddy. And I've noticed that change in the 70s when I became dating age, you know, mid-70s. And from then on all the way to now. And like I said, you get to this age, you find yourself alone, and then you say to yourself, after all these experiences, is it really worth it anymore? Because now you get older and you spent your whole life giving. And now you're physically unable to give 100% without getting some kind of help in return, you know?
Yeah, I understand.
And you wind up like me, you see?
Well, just keep in mind that I can't answer it for everybody. I really can't. You said it, though. There are many good women out there. You just haven't found one.
Oh, yes, there is. I'm not saying all women now, Pastor, but, you know, I wouldn't dare
do
that.
Not.
No.
I know you're not. But I've been married 54 years, and Marcia and I had some high-volume discussions. You know, sometimes she's wrong. But anyway, I've had a fantastic life and a wonderful wife for many years. Not perfect. We all have ups and downs and days that were better than others. But I've been blessed for a long time with a good woman that's taken care of me and helped me rear three sons and did the glory of God. And our sons now thank us for that. And all my sons, especially now my middle son, said, Dad, you always was the man of the family. We could trust you. You led us, and Mom did too. And I want to thank you for manning up and being a man teaching us how to do it. And that really touched my heart.
Pastor Butch. My parents were married 45 years when my daddy died, and if they were both alive today, they would be 84 and 88, respectively.
Right.
They would still be married if they were both alive
today.
I'm so proud of that fact. But then again, sometimes I wonder if I let them down by not achieving what they achieved in that respect. But what can you do? Well, Pastor Butch, thank you for taking my call now.
You're welcome. Good talking to you. That's very true, folks. I mean, I understand where he's coming from. It's not just the women. It's the men who don't know how to be men any longer. They don't know how to treat a lady. They truly don't know how to treat a woman. It breaks my heart that we become so ignorant of society and culture the way it should be, especially biblically. That both they treat each other with equal or mutual disrespect, and it's accepted because that's the way it is. To me, that's just absolutely heartbreaking to see that, and knowing that my grandchildren, and my three great grandsons, are coming up in a world with that kind of attitude towards life and each other. If that doesn't break your heart, then I don't know what does. I just don't know. 717-300-1698. 717-300-1698. But as I was saying, folks, a moral individual, a truly morally righteous individual, I should say, perhaps, cannot and will not be quiet in the face of evil. I'm not saying he's going to go in there, or she or she's going to go in there and necessarily cause a scene. That isn't what I'm saying at all. But they will stand against evil no matter where you see it. It will lead them to confrontations. It'll lead them maybe sometime to jail time. We don't know that. It's happened many places. It's going to happen again. But my duty as a Christian is not to please people. It's to tell people the truth and love them and not be afraid of what could happen to me when it's over. I don't know how else we can make that point, then to say that straight up and down that we are accountable for what we do and don't do. That's very true. Let's stay right here in West Virginia. Let's go talk to Joe. Joe, come on in.
Thank you for taking my call, Butch. Your last call had really hit something that I preach a lot about, is etiquette. And since there's no etiquette left, there's no etiquette towards God either. When we lost that etiquette towards each other and that respect and honor towards each other, we lost it in the church as well. And this is one of the one of the sides that we are heading down to bringing destruction to the church.
That's true.
And society, since we, no longer respecting. I mean, I hear children, little children. I mean, I've talked to parents and had little children, and I'm addressed as Joe. It's not Mr. or Sir. It's Joe. I've heard children call elderly people dude. There's just no respect there anymore.
Well, Joe, when the church quit being salt and light, as we're warned in Matthew, mm-hmm. What is it good for then? What's the Bible say is good for it? When the church loses savor, so to speak, no longer real salt, what do men do with it? They throw
it out. The foundations are lost.
That's exactly right. So, the blame is not society. The blame is the church.
Mm-hmm. And I don't always blame the pulpit. I also put the blame on the people who sit behind or in front of the preacher. You call it pew warmers. Because they're too busy on their computers, their television, their stuff. And they lost focus of God. And the pastor, if he does preach out, he probably find himself fired from a job. That's okay with me.
That's why I say that if the people are lukewarm, it's a pastor's job to set them on fire or get fired, mm-hmm. one or the other. That's all there is to it. And you've been coming to our Bible studies for a lot of years. A lot of things were taught there are not comfortable, are they? They're not comfortable.
Oh, no. In fact, when you start talking about things, all of a sudden my brain goes into high gear and I start searching in the scriptures for those things because I remember reading about it.
Yes, all in there.
And I just have to come up and say, oh, yeah, I know where that is. I know what he's talking about. There's another verse that talks about it. Yeah, I mean, the major prophets, I mean, they spoke hard against the church. Isaiah and Jeremiah both spoke hard out against the church. And Jeremiah said something about, and I think it was in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 10, or is it chapter 10, verse 30, preach to us smooth things. Don't uh-huh. preach to us uh-huh. hard things, prophets. Mm-hmm. Tell us those soft, gentle, kind things so we don't have to be uncomfortable.
That's true.
And the reason why Jesus was crucified is because he insulted a lot of people with the truth. They hate him so much. I mean, if Jesus wasn't insulting people with the truth, they would have never crucified him.
Well, and the ones that hate the most were the so-called church today, too. You know that.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I'll be honest with you. Because I do deliverance ministry, my biggest opposition is the church. I've actually had people, tell their parishioners that, well, Joe's preaching another gospel. Oh, Jesus did away with that stuff. Well, is that why your church is full of illness, sicknesses, and disease?
Amen.
Spiritually and physically?
Amen. Joe, I got to jump. I got more calls coming in that time, but thanks for the call, Joe.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right, let's go to Catherine in Maine. Catherine, come on in. Welcome.
Hi, Pastor Butch.
Hello.
I actually didn't hear. Are you there?
I'm here, yes.
Yeah, I didn't actually hear the show. I apologize. I had some calls come in, but I did hear the caller, so I kind of get a jigsaw what you're discussing. And there's a song that I was just listening to, actually. It's called, it's by David Ruiz, and it's Oh Break Our Hearts. And I did find it on YouTube, and this is such an excellent song. Oh Break Our Hearts is the name of it. And he used to play worship at our church sometimes. And one of the lyrics is, whoever heard of an army of God who conquered the earth through weeping and mourning and brokenness? Okay? Yeah. And this song is amazing. It's very, very anointed. So if we all, it's such a powerful song. And I love another CD. It's God Rock, Let There Be Dancing, Norm Strauss. And they also used to play at our church. And I used to try to get them to play this. And then they said, oh, we can't. It's too rockish. Well, guess what? It's still anointed. And then later, they ended up playing at our church because they did come through. But this is a great. They have a song called "Crush the Walls of Jericho." I love this song. Okay, it's like spiritual warfare. So anyway, that's kind of what I was doing instead of listening to the show. But I have a friend that is a doctor, and he's looking at the computer screen a lot. Deborah Tavares, the blue, she has the right glasses, so you can't just buy any pair. If he calls you Thursday, could you please talk to him and see if you can get a hold of Deb? Like, basically, she's in untouchable. And if he calls you Thursday, will you be in the office?
Yeah,
maybe?
I should. Well, this Thursday, Thanksgiving. I'll be here this Thursday. It's Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's right. You don't know.
I can find out. Just have him contact me and leave his name and number, and I'll try to find out something for him.
Okay, can we email you? Or
yeah, email me. Yeah, email me, please. Yes.
Okay, can you just give it to me real quick, could you?
Okay, PastorButch@startmail.com. PastorButch@startmail.com. I got to jump, Amy. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay, PastorButch@startmail. Thank you so much.
That's it, honey. Bye-bye. Let's go to Bruce in Ohio. Bruce, come on in. Welcome.
Hello, Pastor Butch.
Hello.
Hello. I just want to tell you, 7520 hasn't been coming in that great the last couple of weeks.
Well, if you saw the sunspots, you know, the northern lights were shining there. That's what's called it. But now, if you can't hear it there, go to 11 o'clock. You can go to 4.580. Anyway, we rebroadcast 11 o'clock also on
low. I never stamped that late, but
I didn't read you, did.
Anyway, I want to call you about the economy. You see the Economist magazine coming out for the predictions for 2026, run by the elite. They got a picture of Trump and some swords and Xi Jinping from China and Russia, Vladimir Putin. They got two big giant needles. And anyway, here's Michael Snyder's commentary on the.
You got about 3 seconds. You got to hurry. About 3 seconds.
Super creepy. The World Ahead 2026 magazine, The Economist cover, published by The Economist, shows expect war, pestilence, financial collapse in next year, 2026.
I think you could be right. I really did. War for sure. Trump is the biggest war whore we've had in a long time.
They got a big picture of the dollar bill. That could be a sign of a dollar devaluation, too, coming.
Yep. It could. It could.
And the guy that comes after you had an article that the experts are telling him that 2026, everything comes down and nothing can stop it as far as the American financial system.
I think you're probably right. I think you're probably right.
I thought I'd give you a call, but I hope it's short. It starts coming in a little better.
It will. Now, you can listen on the phone and know that, right? You can listen on the phone also.
Listen on your show on the phone?
Yeah, sure can.
Yeah, what's your phone?
I can't give it to you all the time, but check with me. I'll get back to you. I'll give you the phone number. Just give the office a call, and I'll get back to you. Okay, Bruce? Thank you, sir. Folks, we love you. By the grace of God, we'll see you tomorrow night. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.